Well, like a copy of God's Word, extract from the Bible, Mark and John's Gospel, offered to you free of charge. It is the Word of God, and it is able, it has the ability to convert the simple, that is to bring the wisdom of God to a body, understanding of God, His character, His will, what it is that He requires of you and divine, and it's offered to you freely without any cost or any obligation to you whatsoever. Yours for the taking. If you'd like one, please feel free to come and ask for one. Who knows, perhaps, maybe, by reading God's Word, you get a surprise. Surprise by grace. You know, the Bible does say that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Reading and hearing the Word of God is, normally, generally, the means by which people come to a knowledge of God's salvation. So if you would like a copy of God's Word, please do feel free to come and ask for one, offered freely to you. As, of course, is the Gospel, as is the Son of God, who spoke these words that I read to you here from the Bible today. Jesus answered and said unto him, that is to a religious man, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. For a man, a woman, for a person to enter God's kingdom, they must needs be born again. Marvel not, be not astonished, says Jesus, that I say to you, you must be born again. Well, the man whom he spoke to in the first instance, he was astonished. And of course, many people are today. Well, how can a man, how can a person be reborn? How can they re-enter their mother's womb and be born a second time? This is impossible, you see. Well, of course it is. That's to speak of natural birth. Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth, the one that is necessary in order to enter God's kingdom, even to understand the kingdom of God. Enlightenment, you see, from above, a change of heart, a change of nature, that's what's required. More, much more than what you or I could do, or any person can do for themselves. You must be born, that is from above, Jesus is saying. It's a necessity, you see, because we're all of us, well, we're born in sin. So we have to be born again. Bible says elsewhere in the book of Ephesians, for instance, chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, that is, talking to Christians, of course, those who have been born again, who were dead in trespasses and sins. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons and the children of disobedience. You see, walking, men and women, in their natural state and condition, walking in the vanity, the meaninglessness of their minds, alienated from the life of God, blindness of their heart, past feeling, giving themselves over to lasciviousness, to sensuality. That's the state, you see. That's the state of humanity in its entirety. Every man, woman, and child born into this world, excepting one, of course, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. Born, you see, conceived in sin, born in sin, and we we come into the world, you see shape and an iniquity. Sinful natures, from which are made, of course, sinful practice. And there's only one answer to that. And it's not found in psychology. It's not found in politics. It's not found in the philosophies of men, evolution, or anything else. Only in regeneration. Only in a person being made a new creature, reborn by the Spirit of God. You must, Jesus says, be born again. A catastrophic change must take place within. It's a change within. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. That is the glory of God, the glory of heaven. Christ in you, not Christ in the Bible, not Christ in the manger, not Christ on the cross, but Christ in you is the hope of glory. He must be born and he must be formed in you in order for you to be right with God. The nature must be changed. That nature in which you're born that hates God and of course hates your neighbor. The very contrary, and of course that's what it means to be in your natural state and condition, is to be contrary to God in your nature, in your practice, contrary to the law of God, contrary to what God has revealed, the standards that God has revealed for humankind. Some of God's law, Jesus tells us elsewhere, is that you should love God and love your neighbor. But you don't do that. Why? Because, well, it's not in your nature to do that. To love God and to love your neighbor until that is you've been born again. Until that is God has worked in you inwardly, in your heart, giving you a new heart, new nature, with new desires. Desire to love God. Desire to love your neighbor. But it's not in you. It's not in man, you see, and religion can't put it into you. Oh, you can be also religious. You can be so very devoted to your religion. But unless your heart's changed, unless you're born again, as Jesus says, unless he gives you a brand new nature that loves God and loves your neighbor, well, you remain as you are. As you are born, as you live, and as, well, I dare say that most of you will die. That is, in that sinful nature. As lost for time and lost for eternity, the day will come. As one man has said many years ago, unless you are born again, that day will come when you will wish you had never been born at all. You must be born again. There's no other way by which you can even begin to understand, begin to perceive, to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Marvel not, says Jesus, that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And of course, well, it's a spiritual change. It's not a natural, it's not a physical change. And of course, this is the problem with your religion and all your world religions. It's all just physical, it's all just material, it's all just about what man does, you know? That's religion, you know, do and do. You must do this in order to get right with God. You must do the other in order to get right with God, to get the favor of God. Well, the Bible makes it clear that no one can ever get themselves right with God by their own doing. There's nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do to get God's favor. It's only by what God does. God causing you spiritually to be reborn. You must be born again of the Spirit. Not physical, not material. Like you see, religion, that's about what you do. But God says that no flesh shall ever be justified by their own works, their own efforts, the works of the law, the works of religion. Only by what God does. God coming to a man, to a woman, circumcising the heart, giving them a new heart. A heart that's with spiritual understanding. A heart that's no longer blinded by sin, but now understands. God understands what God requires, understands the Word of God. I can declare the Word of God to you. I can read it. You can read it for yourself. And you might understand it intellectually. That wouldn't be a problem. But spiritual understanding, the things of God, you see, the Bible tells us, are understood spiritually. And the only one who can give you spiritual understanding is God Himself. By His Spirit, you see. It's the operations of the grace of God that comes to a man or woman, generally speaking, through the preaching of the Word of God, of the Gospel of God. God sent His Son, Jesus, into the world to accomplish in men and women that which the law, that which the commandments of God could never do. Through the Gospel, you see, and through hearing the Gospel being proclaimed and coming to an understanding of your true state and nature before God, and of course your sinful practices too, come to an understanding of the depth of the necessity, the greatness of your need of being born again. And God, you see, He comes to a man or woman. He breaks into their hearts. He intervenes by His grace, the gracious operations of God in the Gospel, and changes the hearts of men and women. Causes them for the first time in their lives and existence to understand. It's like a lightning bolt from heaven. Oh, I understand, I get it. You've heard it maybe many, many times before and taken no heed to it, rejected it, just shrugged it off. But now, all of a sudden, you understand. Now you get it. Because the grace of God has come to you and opened your heart and given you an understanding of the things of God that you never had before. It's spiritual, you see. You must be born again spiritually. The change, you see, it's a supernatural one. It's the work of God, not yours. Nothing you can do. Nothing man can do. It's the sovereign actions of God, operations of God by His Spirit working in the hearts of men and women. But rest assured, you must be born again. Well, you might ask, you might say, well, what can I do? You know, if I'm on the wrong side of God, if I'm alienated from God, my heart's blinded, if I'm not right with God, what on earth can I do? Well, you could cry out to Him. You could seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, the Bible says. God does say He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Jesus says in the Gospels, He says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So, you know, but on your knees, I might suggest, with an open Bible, you know, crying out to God and giving Him no rest until He comes to you. Until you know that you've been born again. Until you know that you understand spiritually the matters, the things relating to the kingdom of God, in order that you might enter the kingdom of God. In the way, of course, of repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But you see, it's a saving change. This new birth, this rebirth, it brings about what brings eternal life to the souls of men and women. And that's why God's given us the Bible, you see, that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in His name. That's what these things were written for. God gave us the Bible. He doesn't play hide and seek with you. He gave us a Bible, a revelation of Himself, what He's truly like. God is good, God is kind, compassionate, merciful, just, righteous, holy. All these things, the character of God, you see, is revealed for you in the Bible, in God's own revelation of Himself. But it's also a revelation, you see, of the will of God, what it is that He requires of us. And first and foremost, that you must be born again. A saving change, you see, that brings eternal life to the souls of men and women. Here you are, you see, day by day, walking God's earth, breathing God's air, eating God's food, and drinking God's water, and exposed all the time because of your sinful nature, in which you were conceived, in which you were born, exposed to eternal death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord, whom I declare to you here this afternoon in Nottingham City once again. But here's the thing, friends, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it's not just talking simply about physical death, that's included. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, after this comes the judgment. Spiritual death, separated from God now because of your iniquities, because of your rebellion against God, alienated from the life of God, the life of God in you. You see, the new birth when a man, when a woman is born again, it's God putting his life into the souls of men and women, and that's eternal life, that's everlasting life. But you see, now you've incurred spiritual death, separated from God now in time, but then physical death, that day comes when you breathe your last and you go out of this world. Maybe perhaps you would argue that you're not a sinner. Well, prove it to me, don't die. That's the only way you'll ever prove that you're not a sinner, by not dying. But we all sin, we all die, why? Because we all sin. Sin's wages, you see, physical death, out of this world, soul departs from the body and returns to God, and God dispatches it, God deals with it, according to, on the basis of what you have done or not done with His Son Jesus Christ, who He sent into the world to be the Savior of the world, who died for the sins of the world. Of course, if you have not believed, if you have not repented, if you have not been born again, friends, you are daily, hourly, every moment of your existence, you are exposed to eternal and everlasting death. Because in that day, when you stand before God unchanged in the nature in which you were born and in which you have lived, friends, if you have not been born again, God will dispatch your soul into a lost eternity, forever and ever. So there's only one answer. There's only one antidote to eternal death, and that's eternal life. And that's what this change, that's what this transformation, that's what this new birth brings about. Born again, you must be born again, Jesus says. A saving change. It brings about the salvation of God. It brings eternal life to the souls of men and women. It's what Jesus came to bring. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Fullness of life. Never-ending life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Life, my friends, life is what it's about. Some of you, rather impudently, when you're passing by, you sometimes you tell me to get a life. Well, let me assure you, I have a life, and I have eternal life. But the question is to you, because that's exactly what God is saying to you. Get a life, get eternal life. And where do you get it? Only from Jesus Christ. Only He can give you eternal life. Religion won't put eternal life into your soul. The philosophies of men won't put eternal life into your soul. No, a saving change, saved from that sinful nature, sinful status and condition in which you were born and conceived in, saved from your sin, the practice of your sin, the catalogue, all that that is contrary in you, that is opposed to God, opposed to His law, mercy rather than religion is what the Bible's about, salvation. Through a person, and that person, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ, not a religion. Christ, not Muhammad. Christ, not Buddha. Christ, not the Pope of Rome. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners, that they might be saved. Salvation is what it's about. And salvation from a very real and known danger, the greatest danger that you face inwardly, in your own heart, your own diseased heart and condition. And Jesus came and died on a Roman cross some 2,000 years ago that you might be saved, that you might have eternal life, that you might be born again to eternal life, that you might be saved. And that you might have the assurance in you that when you die, because here's the bottom line, here's the ultimate, you know. I proclaim the gospel to you. You don't believe it. You reject it. You walk away from it. The day will come when you will die, and your soul will depart from your body, and God will dispatch you into a lost eternity. But the alternative is, you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive eternal life in His name. And you will die just the same physically like all other men, but your soul will depart from your body, and it will go to heaven and be with heaven and heaven's glory for all eternity. Eternal life. That's what the new birth brings about. You must be born again. Not become religious. You must be born again. Born again to eternal life. That's what Jesus means when He says, you must be born again. But it's a complete change, you know? The Bible says when a man or woman is in Jesus Christ, they are complete. As far as God's concerned, completely saved, a complete salvation. Ye are complete in Him. There is in Him no, therefore now no condemnation. For those that is who are in Christ Jesus, the work is done. It's a complete work. It's a finished work. Jesus cried from the cross when He was dying. His finishing words were, it is finished. All done. Nothing save for you and I to do. Nothing that you and I could accomplish anyway. But it's all done. What more needs to be done? If you say, well, there's something more needs to be done. And some people do say that, you know, that Jesus Christ never did enough, that there's something more for you and I to do in order that we might be saved. That's heresy. That's damnable heresy. Jesus did it all. Complete salvation has been provided, produced to you by God Himself in sending His Son Jesus Christ into the world and accomplishing. Jesus Christ accomplished the salvation. He fulfilled everything that His Father gave Him to do. And that's why the Bible says now you see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Muhammad, not the Pope, not Buddha, not any religious guru, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because He accomplished, He completed salvation. For those that is who will believe, for those that is who will trust in Him and what He has done, for those that is who will renounce self, who will renounce their own works, who will renounce the world, the flesh, the devil, and who will put their trust, their faith completely in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A complete salvation is offered to them, is received by them. He came to His own, Bible says Jesus. Jesus came to His own, but His own received Him not, but to as many as did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right, He gave the authority, He gave the power to become that which they were not. Sons of God, children of God, reconciled to God, into the family the person, the man or woman that is, who has been born again of the Spirit of God, wrought upon by the grace of God, made a new creature in Jesus Christ by the power of God. You see, the gospel is still the power of God, friends, unto salvation. Still needed today, even in your modern day and generation, with all your science and all your technology and all your cleverness, friends, it's still man's greatest need. Because there's nothing else that can change man. Nothing else that can change man's nature. Nothing else that can remove the sin, remove the blight, remove the desire for sin, the love of sin. Nothing else that can change a man and make him complete before God. Make him a completely new creature in Jesus Christ. Recreated, born again. And of course, it's a lasting change. Because when God, you see, works in a man's heart and life, well, God does the work, you know, and what God does, He doesn't do half-heartedly. It's all done, it's completely done. The change is a permanent change. It's a lasting change. For time and for eternity, when God justifies a man or woman, that is, makes a man or woman right with himself, that's a permanent declaration. God doesn't change his mind. He's not a man that he should repent. Now, when God lays hold upon a man or woman and changes them by His grace, they're changed forever. Forever, never to be lost again, kept by the power of God. And what kind of power is that? Almighty power. The same power that created a universe. Oh, I know some of you believe in this foolish notion of evolution, but friends, you've got no grounds. You've got no intelligent basis at all for believing the nonsense of evolution. There's no scientific basis for such nonsense. None whatsoever. It's illogical. It's unintelligent. It's foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. No, God made everything. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days, 24-hour periods. By His almighty power, He spoke and brought it all into being. And that's the power that keeps the man or woman who has been born again, who has been saved by the power of God. It's mighty power. Nobody can touch you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand, says Jesus. And no one can remove you from the Father's hand. For once you've been reborn, for once you've repented, for once you've believed in the Savior, in Jesus Christ, kept by the power, the mighty power of God. The power of God that made, that brought a universe into being. And the power of God, of course, that you see displayed in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the narratives of the Gospel. You see, He opens the eyes of the blind, and even His enemies, even those who led Him to be crucified, even they testified, they said, no one ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man did. Ah, they testified the miracles that He performed, raising the dead to life, healing the sick, the diseased. Oh, dear friends, the mighty, mighty power of God. It's a lasting change. It's a lasting change. When a man or woman's been born again to eternal life, it lasts because they are born again of the power of God and they are kept by the power of God. The same power that created a universe and the same power by which we see Jesus Christ operating in the days of this flesh. And friends, the same power that sustains the universe in which you and I live. God constantly maintaining and sustaining all things by the power of His Son, Jesus Christ. So again I say to you, you must be born again. But how is a man, how is a woman born again? Well, it's by the word of God the change comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and particularly so by the preaching of God's word. Some people, of course, in reading the Bible. How you doing, son?
I'm all right, sir. God bless.
Good. And you too. Have a good day, eh? Some people, of course.
You're reborn if you repent your sin.
You got it. You got it. So you see, friends, you know, some people, by reading the Word of God, they get hold of the Bible. That's why I offer you a copy of God's Word every time I come to you, that you might read the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate the Word of God. I don't ask you to take these things at my word or anybody else's word. There's only one person's word that you can trust in all this world. Bible says that all men are liars, so therefore you cannot trust any human being on the planet Earth. But you can't trust God's word. That's truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus says, concerning the word of God, the Bible. My counsel shall stand. I shall do all my pleasure, says God. Nothing can thwart the word of God. You can trust the word of God. It's been tried and tested. It's been microscopically examined. And no one yet has ever been able to disprove the word of God. And men and women for generations, over 2,000 years, have been putting their trust in the counsel of God, the word of God, and finding it to be exactly what God says it is, His word, and it works in them effectively, bringing salvation to their souls, causing them to be born again. So read the word of God. Take the word of God offered to you. Read it. Meditate upon it. Study its pages. And friends, see that these things that I declare to you, that they are so. What God requires of you, it's all there in His words. It's all there in the Bible and God's Holy Scriptures. It's called the Holy Bible. It's called the Holy Word of God, because it comes to you from a holy God, the thrice holy God. And friends, that Word of God, His Word is trustworthy. All believe His Word. Comes to you from the God who cannot lie. It's the truth, and the truth will make you free, says Jesus. That is, when you read it, and when you believe it, when you act upon it, when you repent of your sin, when you turn from your sin and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this salvation will be yours. But that's how the new birth comes about. By the word of God. For some people, read the word of God proclaimed, preached as I'm doing here today. That's the means God has ordained, He tells us, in the Bible, by which He saves souls. I know, well, the Bible says that for some it's utter foolishness, the act of preaching. And of course, if God wasn't in it, so it would be. But it's not. And for those who see the preaching of the gospel as being foolishness, well, that's evidence, that's proof, says God, that they're on the pathway to perdition. But friends, for those who are being saved, for those whom God, by His grace, is causing to be born again, for them, friends, it's the word of life, it's the word of hope, it's the word of salvation, it's eternal life. But that's how men and women come to be reborn. You must be born again. And it's by the proclamation, the preaching of God's word, is how it comes about. So, you know, it does you well to pay heed to the preaching of God's word, that you might hear the message of salvation, that you might hear about what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that you might trust in what Jesus Christ has done, that you might know eternal life in His name, that you might be saved. But then, of course, the Bible, Bible says that when this chain, when a man or woman has been born again, well, you know, it has results. You can tell. You can tell when a man's been born again or not. You can tell when somebody's...
Good for you.
Thank you, sir.
Bless you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. You can tell when a man or woman's been born again. You can tell when somebody's just religious, you know. Or somebody, you know, has never been touched by God at all. You see, it has results. Behold, everything has become new. Or rather, it's becoming you. You know, this person's not the same. Maybe perhaps you've seen it happen to one of your buddies, you know, one of your friends, and you're gobsmacked. You know, you're astonished at the change that has taken place in them. Because they've been born again. They're not the same people. They don't mix with the same people anymore. You know? They don't do the same things that they used to do before. You know, you see the sin beginning to disappear. You see, it's not hidden. You can tell. It's evident. Behold, says God. You know? This person has been made a new creature. This person has new desires, has new hopes, has new love, and new hate. They hate the sin that they once loved, and they love the God that they once hated. You know? It can be hidden, it has results. It's visible, you can see it. If a man's been born again, they're changed. And of course, well, it's contrary. Bible says it's contrary, you know, to the, well, to the works of the flesh. Really, it's how God's word puts it. Now the works of the flesh, the Bible says, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These are the works of the flesh, no longer to be seen in this person who has been born again. It is a question, yeah. Yeah. Okay, take your time. Yeah. Yeah, I got to church, yeah. I'm not sure, I don't quite understand what you mean. If I'm understanding you right, it's not going to church that makes us Christians. It's not going to church that gets us right with God. It's faith. It's only faith, believing in Jesus. Yeah? Yeah? I mean, we should go to church, you know, if we're Christians, if we've been born again, if we've repented and believed the gospel, then we should go to church. You know, it should be a delight to go to church. One that teaches the word of God, that is, you know what I mean? A proper church. Not just anyone. But have you read God's word? Have you read God's word? You got one? Yeah. Well, have a listen to this, Luke. That's my testimony, Luke. That God saved me. Have a listen. Yeah. Have a listen. Yeah. Okay, my dear. God bless you. Thanks for your question. Have a good day. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Okay. Good for you. Thank you. So you see the works of the flesh, you know, they disappear, you know. They melt away. This person has been born again of God's Spirit, you know. They just, you know, the change is well, it's huge, you know, it's monumental. It takes place, you know, in the heart. The nature's changed, the desires have changed. They no longer have any time for this. They hate this stuff, you know. They used to live in it before, but now it's all changed. Because the heart has been changed. Because the nature has been changed. There's a desire. There's a delight for the Word of God and for what the Word of God demands and commands. Oh, they're not perfect, not by any means. That doesn't come until heaven. But there's been such a drastic, such a monumental change. Once they despised the Word of God. Once they had no delight at all in anything concerning God. But now, of course, their delight and their desire is to feed upon the Word of God. It's their bread. You know, as Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. You see, you can exist, you can get by, you know, on plain, ordinary, you know, simple bread, but you can't live. You can't live eternally. You can't live everlastingly. You can't live until you've been born again, until your heart's been changed, your nature's been changed, until you have this delight in and this desire for the Word of God to feed upon the bread of life. That's where it's life, friends. It's water for your souls, and it's life everlasting. Born again, friends. And no longer, of course, does this person live for the God of self, you know? The most popular religion, you know? The idolatry of the day, the God of self, huh? You know, the selfies that we take, huh? Taking pictures, taking images of the God that you worship and adore. The God of self. That's the very essence of sin. That's the very essence of rebellion against God. The central letter of the word sin is the letter I. I. Me. And that's what we live for. For self. To gratify the lust of the flesh. That's all that we live for until we are born again. Until God changes the nature and changes the practice with it. Until He makes us new creatures in His Son, Jesus Christ. But that possibility has been made. That possibility, it can happen through the proclamation of the Word of God. Friends, God has made it a possibility in sending His Son and causing Him to die that death on the cross, to shed His blood, to spill His blood on the cross, in order that redemption and remission of sins might be yours and mine. And God causes the gospel to be proclaimed amongst you here, week by week. So that in hearing the Word of God, and hearing the message of God's salvation, and hearing the offer of salvation, that by the grace of God, that you be enabled to hear, like you never heard before, spiritually that is, with your ears opened by God, your eyes opened, and your heart opened, to repent and believe, and to trust in the only Savior. But only by God's grace. But it's still a day of grace. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time, says God. It's still a day of grace. Still a day. Still a generation. It's still a time in which men and women are entering the kingdom of God. Why not you? Why not you today? I implore you, be reconciled to God. Seek Him while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near. I implore you, while you still have the breath of life in you, while you have the opportunity, while the offer is placed before you, be reconciled. reconciled to God, I implore you on behalf of Jesus Christ, for the day is coming. The time is short, the Bible says, when God will bring down the shutters on the day of salvation, when the marketplace of grace will be closed, and men and women will be howling and crying. Oh, you laugh now, but not then. Howling and crying. Where's there a Bible that I might read it? Where's that preacher that I might listen to him? Where is Jesus Christ that I might believe in his name? But too late, too late, too late. Now is the time, says God. Today you hear his voice. Do not harden your heart as many, many, many people have done in the past and do even in the present. Today you have the opportunity. Today you hear the gospel. What hinders you from coming to Christ? What hinders you from believing? What hinders you from the kingdom of God? Only this, friends, your unbelief. Your unbelief, that's your capital crime. That carries the death sentence if you continue with it to the end of your course. Now, repent of your unbelief. Turn from your wicked unbelief. Turn from your godlessness. Turn from your sin. Turn from that sinful nature. And turn to God through Jesus Christ that you might be saved. Believe and be saved. That's the call. The supernatural call of God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Whosoever shall call in faith, that is, upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is God's command to you this afternoon, and his promise is, and thou shalt be saved. Oh repent, Nottingham. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Command of Jesus, the one who says that you must be born again. Marvel not that he says to you, marvel not that he says to you, you must be born again. For you must be. You must be. There's no other way that you can enter God's kingdom. You must be born again. Sinful nature must be changed. Transformed by the supernatural, miraculous power of Almighty God. Changed for time and eternity. Eternal life put into your soul. Life of God put into your soul. The blindness of heart removed. Circumcised in heart. Heart of stone taken out of you and given a heart of flesh. Saved from your idolatrous religion. Saved from your godless religion. Saved, saved from the powers of darkness and hell and eternal and everlasting death. Oh, today, Nottingham, today, repent ye and believe the gospel, the command of Jesus. Repent ye, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And the only way you can enter his kingdom is by being born again. It's in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God who loved sinners and gave himself for them. You'd like to have